Good morning. Today is Wednesday, 20th of September. What, fall is Friday? Saturday. Is the 23, not 22? All right, well, it feels like fall. Joining us this morning from Food for People, Carly Robbins. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Was it brisk enough for you this morning?
I got out to walk my dog, and I actually got outside and was like, I should go back and grab gloves. It's cold.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. I finally had a normal night's sleep.
Mm.
You know, it gets in the 40s, things start to get normal for me. Well, okay, spot me. Normal's relative. So you're a morning walker also, huh?
Yeah. The dog makes his desires known early.
You don't want to forget that one.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready for we got a new book since you've been here. Are you ready for your question for the morning?
Okay.
Why is a lazy, irresponsible person called shiftless?
Shiftless. I mean, I just have to imagine they're not shifting around as much, but I don't know.
I'm thinking that they don't have a work shift.
Oh, there you go.
Could be totally wrong. Let's see. The word shift means to change or rearrange, which is why we call those who work during differing blocks of time shift workers. Huh. This use of the word shift also applies to an individual's ability to change or to adapt. Therefore, if you're shiftless, you lack the initiative or the resources to change with the circumstances. On the other hand, someone who is shifty is too adept to change and isn't to be trusted.
Oh.
Double-edged sword. All right. I get it. Oh. So this time of the year, typically there's a harvest coming in of pumpkins and
apples
and zucchinis and zucchinis and zucchinis.
Uh-huh.
And a couple zucchinis. What's this year been like for you guys?
Well, on the growing end of things, it's been a weird year. The rain that we got kind of slowed down the crops early. So it's been a very strange growing season. But I can say things like apples, zucchini are coming in force right now. So that's been very nice. We've had lots of people dropping off their excess at the food bank, which is very much
appreciated. Even God can't stop zucchinis.
Yep. Nope. Which I actually don't mind. I find them to be a very versatile vegetable.
Oh, you don't do the noodles with them, do you?
No, oh, I have in the past. I did try that out, but I'm not going to say it's something that stayed in my food rotation.
Good move. So when you get a preponderance of one type of food product, is that a challenge? Is that kind of something that you anticipate and can work through it? What happens when the pickup truck pulls up and the whole bed is full of zucchini? What do you do?
You know, we haven't had many issues getting the food out in volume. The only thing I will say, I said it three times already, is apples. When we've had like an overabundant apple season, we'll get a bunch in that we might not be able to use. So that's the only thing we've kind of had to problem solve around. And we actually worked out a interesting partnership with Humboldt Cider. For any of the apples that were unfit, we brought anything that we couldn't use to them, and they pressed it and made a cider that they sold, and $1 of all those proceeds came to Food for People.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So it didn't have any of the magic sauce in it?
No.
So, well, I suppose if you have manufacturers that are buds, any of that stuff that's extra, at least think of tomatoes. You know, if you got a ton of tomatoes, their shelf life is pretty short.
It is pretty short.
And you don't want to have a tomato fight on the corner.
We do not, no.
It would look like a bloodbath. That'd be funny.
Yeah. It's not locally grown, but the one thing that's always a gamble when we get in is avocados.
Because they can be punky?
Yeah, and you almost always have to push them out immediately. So those are a real gamble.
You don't have a commercial kitchen as part of the new facility, do you?
We do not, no.
You can't do anything with these and, like, can them or anything like
no,
that?
No. We've talked with a couple organizations about maybe utilizing their commercial kitchen in that instance. We've talked with the folks out about Foodworks maybe, but hasn't come to fruition yet. But it is a desire that we have.
So if that happened, I'm thinking of some of the regulatory elements with food manufacturing,
mm-hmm.
because you're giving it away rather than selling it, is there any relaxation with that? Or is the standard, and you just have to buckle down and do and comply however you would have to do and comply?
Because a lot of the funding and or food we get is through federal sources like USDA foods, we have to uphold their regulations. So, you know, one of the really bummer things that comes about is if we get like a steer or something donated locally, like say the kids at 4-H, you know, raise it and someone buys it at auction and they want to donate it to
Not that that has happened in the last week or two since the fair, however.
But we have to make sure it's butchered at a USDA-approved facility. And there are some facilities that aren't technically USDA. They're like smaller mom and pops that still do a great job, but we can't distribute it. So we have to have anything butchered through USDA. Redwood Meats around here does that, which is wonderful. But they don't do like hogs or anything like that. So there's limitations on even the local things that are donated to us that we can distribute.
Now, could you use those non-USDA meats for like barbecues and fundraising and things like that? You just can't distribute them?
Yeah. We can't distribute them. We might be able to use them in a fundraising capacity. I hadn't thought of that.
I'm thinking, you know, some of the now I've got a couple buddies who say that they go walking in the woods with a gun. Hunting implies success. But some of those folks, you know, they go out and either they have a really prolific experience or they just, you know, it's the social elements of it. It's not the meat itself. If they would be able to donate those things.
That's a great question. I think maybe in a fundraising capacity, if it was cooked through like an approved.
So if Rex or his like are there, you're okay.
Maybe. We just can't distribute it through the
And then you can use those avocados and make some kind of a sauce.
Here we go.
Burn it on, but. Yeah, weird ideas only here. No, not only here. But we add to it. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Carly Robbins from Food for People. Mm-hmm. So if fall is a plentiful time for you, is the demand, do you see it go up and down seasonally? Or is it, obviously it's an economic component also.
Yeah.
But is there a seasonal fluctuation to either to anticipate or
Typically, we see some, you know, hills and valleys throughout the year. We can usually anticipate the holidays. We'll see if more people, you know, people are more stressed. They're trying to put together holidays, buy gifts, that kind of thing. So they're struggling a little bit more. And the other time is actually summer. So we're kind of coming off of it. And that's primarily because there's lots of families whose children get the free and reduced cost meals at school. And then suddenly they're home for the summer and, you know, if they were making it perfectly fine through the school year, it stresses the family budget a little bit more. So we anticipate a bump throughout the summer.
I thought that the schools had some kind of a program where the kids could show up, either pick up or hand off, or there was something that was...
Some school districts do. It's not...
Oh, it's district by district.
It's district by district if they offer that program. I will say when COVID hit, a lot of our local school districts did a really good job of expanding that for the summertime. Where they were able to pick up, they did more sites, which was amazing. A lot of the areas that are more rural, you know, they don't have those kind of school districts or resources. So we actually piloted a program. So like areas like Willow Creek, Hoopa, down Redway, Garberville.
You didn't make it out to Maple Creek, did you?
Where's the closest we came to Maple Creek?
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, probably Garfield.
Yeah. But so we actually have been delivering food boxes for families at some partner sites out in there in the more rural areas for the summer to try and meet that need.
And then they handle it however they handle mm-hmm. it.
Exactly.
So if you're coming, are you able to store a lot of the food?
Yeah.
Dry goods, I would imagine, probably.
Dry goods and refrigeration. We haven't talked about it yet, but we moved into our new facility in June. So this is the one that we rebuilt after the major sewer disaster.
The one with the cool fence.
Yeah, exactly. We took everything down to the ground and rebuilt. And so we have about four times the cold storage we had before. So we have quite the ability to store foods right now, cold and frozen, as well as the, you know, the standard dry goods.
Does that work for seafood?
For seafood?
Or fish?
Yeah.
Also?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we hear that there's not ice cold store ice storage
oh,
in the
yes.
area, which is a different dynamic.
Yeah.
Certainly, you know, once you pull up to your place, you give the food over, you're not getting it back.
Typically, yes.
Yeah, yeah. But have you been able to get close to or utilize that increased capacity yet?
We're building
or are you still
up. We, like I said, what we've been in since June, so we've only been in a handful of months. So I will say the cold storage is starting to fill up. It's getting tight in there. We haven't quite filled out the freezer yet. That's
yeah, but if you're that close, at least you've tripled mm-hmm. what you have.
Yeah, it's been great because the last 3 years we've been working out of those like Connex boxes, like refrigerated. So it's a game of Tetris. Every time you need something, you need to get six pallets out. So this is it's good.
Easier on staff time, huh?
Yes.
And backs.
Staff time and backs. Don't have to get up the ramp that we used to.
Is there a similar or a parallel storage facility for vegetables? Or
I mean, we
not?
Usually our cold storage, it depends on the vegetable. You know, the potatoes and onions are not stored in the cold storage, but everything else goes in the refrigerated unit.
Are the now that things have kind of settled, are the systems starting to kick in, the internal systems to
internal
rotate
systems?
Things through and
oh, yeah.
walk with people and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we have a good inventory team. So, like, the rotation has always been really good. But we're starting to, like, figure out the little, like, nuances of the new building. We went four tiers high with racking, which is higher than we've ever had before. So we had to get a new forklift, new mast.
Oh, I thought you were just going to get taller people.
Oh, I wish. No, that doesn't solve your problem. But so we're starting to figure those things out. You know, there's definitely the few corners where when we moved in, everything got shoved that we still need to clean out.
Kind of like moving into a new house.
Exactly.
Still those boxes that haven't been unpacked yet.
Uh-huh. We have one corner that really needs to be dealt with.
Well, you know, just get a couple bows and call it Christmas and have everybody yeah. open it up and take it home.
I mean, take it home. You'll figure out what it is, yeah.
On the demand side.
Yeah.
Are you seeing any trend, any differences? Are the rurals different than the Humboldt County rural versus Humboldt County metropolitan? I realize it's all relative, but are you seeing anything that's going on either – more gals, more guys, more kids, more olders, anything that's got your attention?
Well, I mean, frankly and unfortunately, it's kind of increasing across the board pretty exponentially since, say, April. That is when we had a pretty big hit for anyone who is a CalFresh recipient. So that's California's equivalent to food stamps. The emergency allotments that people were getting for COVID, so last 3 years people got an extra bump on benefits, went away. And, you know, the minimum benefit for CalFresh, which a lot of kind of the senior people with disabilities receive, is $23 a month. And that does not go very far at the grocery store. So
that's what it was reduced, or that's what it is?
Well, that's the baseline for what it is now. For the last 3 years, you know, the average people were getting could have been anywhere from 150 to 300. So seeing that decrease every month is a pretty big blow.
So it's a significant change.
It's a significant yeah. change.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Stand by playback.
And now,
Lars. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Carly Robbins from Food for People. Mm-hmm. I almost said humbled.
Also true.
Yeah. Amazing how that happens, huh? With the building as it is, mm-hmm. it's still kind of new and shiny and all that kind of fun stuff. Was there a bump in morale for the staff getting in, or was it relief? I mean, how did the culture adapt to this?
Oh, the culture, that's a good question. You know, for the last 3 years while we were working through this rebuild process, we were in three different
sites. You were all over the joint.
Technically four, yeah. So a lot of our staff, you know, anyone who is new in the last 3 years hasn't met a lot of the other, or, you know, not frequently.
Right.
And a lot of the staff got used to, their own building and their own little, like, work culture. So we're working on bringing all of that together right now.
Which I think for a lot of folks might be perceived as being minor.
Oh, but
if they haven't experienced it themselves, it's a little bit more than that.
Yeah, and just the like actual like physical action and mental capacity for a move like that. It was so much easier to vacate the other one, I think, because it was an emergency. But moving back in takes so much more energy that a few months in now, I think the staff are a little bit more like. The really anxiety and
the breathing now.
Yeah, they're breathing now. We've gotten to that point, which is really nice.
Yeah. Well, if you have a clean canvas, so mm-hmm. you don't have, it's that unit's been there for 25 years. It's not going to move. Why bother?
Uh huh.
But if you have a clean and you're laying things out, fixturing, everybody's got their input. Everybody has what they want, where they want it, how they want it. What works best for them, perhaps, rather than the entire mm-hmm. facility. Yeah, I would think it would take a little bit of time just to kind of get everybody on the same page.
Yeah. And I have to give our staff a lot of credit. They have been amazing at working through just an incredible amount of transition very well.
Yeah, in addition to the normal challenges that are out there.
Yes.
Do you get a lot of volunteers now because of the, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, the better facility?
Well,
has that attracted more attention?
I think it has. And also, we have a bigger need for volunteers right now. We're back to what we call our choice model in the on-site pantry. So that's where people come in, they do an intake interview, then they shop through, based on family size and the nutritional system there. And that requires more people to stock shelves, people to do intake interviews, help people along. So it's kind of a different type of volunteering than the last few years where it was a lot of pre-bagging. So we have a whole new need. We have about 250 volunteers a month right now through all of our different programs. So that's pretty significant. And we actually need more. So we're trying to ramp back up and recruit some more volunteers. To fill those roles.
You have 250 bodies?
Bodies. I mean, they're not
wow.
all in on a given day. But,
well,
that's
yeah, no,
minutes,
that would... you'd have forklifts moving people around with that. Mm-hmm. There are that many people that are assisting one way or another.
One way or another, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you need more.
And we need more.
So is it because of the size? Of the structure that's driving this? Is it the need in the area, increased regulations and requirements for tracking things? It just seems like an awfully large staff size.
It is. But I will say, that's not just for that one building. So that's throughout anything we do countywide. So right now we're ramping back up for our Backpacks for Kids program, which is where volunteers often, like groups like Rotaries through Optimus, they come pick up food from us, pack it into bags, deliver to schools. So that, and we have 36 sites. So there, think of that. And then
so that's a pretty good chunk.
Yeah. We have delivery drivers who come pick up food from us to deliver to seniors or homebound individuals. So that's an entire network where, you know, they come one day a month, they have their route, pick up food, and they deliver it straight to these.
One day a month is all?
Typically one day a month. Yeah, most the food bank is really meant to be like a supplement. It's hopefully not providing food for your entire month. So it, typically we the aim is people just visit once a month.
I just was thinking that the drivers would be coming around more frequently.
Well, sometimes they do other stuff. But
if they go out and it's, do you have, I guess, like distribution warehouses in these other communities, or are they different entities?
Well, usually they come to us and then go out from there. But we do partner, like, right, we're in the middle of what we call our pantry week, where we make deliveries to all of our pantries throughout the county. So those are all, we have 21 different sites.
So you're restocking?
Yeah, we're restocking. Yeah, exactly. Which is an undertaking.
Yeah, I would imagine. Now, how do you track the foods?
The food?
Because I would think that there's, either for fundraising purposes or for grant purposes,
yeah,
that there is a need, not necessarily that you follow that zucchini to wherever its final destination is, but you know, let's say if there's a case or a truckload comes in, how does the donor know where it ends up, or do they care?
I mean, the long story short, it's a very robust inventory system. We have food coming in from all different sources, different grant funds, and we do have to track all of that. And, you know, if anything has to get wasted for any reason, that has to be tracked, where it goes out. So we have a very good crew. They do a lot of weighing, reweighing, repackaging. And then, you know, we have one person who does food sourcing, so they do purchasing, but also inventory that keeps track of all of that. And she can typically tell you where that zucchini went.
Now, is that for internal purposes, or is that a way to assist in getting some of the grants and some of the assistance either from the feds or from the state?
All of the above. It goes into, you know, how we're, a lot of the stuff we're reporting out to for contracts or grants, things that we have to track for USDA or otherwise, as well as just our own, you know, grant outreach and internal processes.
But my understanding is that the feds aren't asking for less paperwork.
Never.
So I would suspect that this is a growing area for some of the activities that, and the products that you guys have got.
Yeah, yeah. And even the feds. I mean, we probably have three different food sources from differently funded federal programs. So you got to track them all differently.
Well, yeah. It's not that they're like coordinated. Everybody's asking for the same information, and you can just send it. Yeah, is there still a cheese program?
I mean, we still get cheese. It's not the USDA block cheese that many people remember from their youth. That like honking.
Well, thanks for giving me credit that I can remember something from my youth.
But I mean, cheese is something that we do try and have in the pantries pretty frequently.
Is that this is going to sound really goofy from California? Cows, or is it like Midwest? When it comes through the federal level, is there a regional component to that, or is it?
Yes.
If like California makes or does, like say, a lot of tomatoes, do those tomatoes go all over the country?
Yes and no. So some of the USDA foods are definitely coming from all across the nation, but we actually have funding right now through the state, through California, to purchase specifically California-produced or grown foods. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, which is wonderful.
So do you go, like, down to the farmer's market and start picking things off, or is this through some centralized buying entity?
Well, I mean, really, it's our sourcing person who is figuring it out. We do some purchasing, actually, with local farms, which is wonderful. It's organic produce. We support the local farmers, funding, you know, that we pay out stays in the community, which is really important. And then also it's just, you know, sourcing anything else we can. You said cheese. We're purchasing a lot of cheese right now from Rumiano, which is...
That's cool.
Yeah, relatively local. I mean...
Well, yeah, they're in the Signal Range. It's local.
Yeah, exactly.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft Salad Dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Carly Robbins from Food for People. Carly, there's this concept of organic, and I know that there's a lot of labeling that says organic.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a factor for you guys at all?
I mean, frankly, no. And I, you know, being the food bank, a farmer would be probably much better to answer the kind of regulation side of organic. I do know clients.
But for what you're doing, the processing and sharing of the foods, do you track that separately, or
no.
is it just kind of all
we don't typically
food?
Typically for us, it's food. Occasionally people will come in and want to know if something's organic, so it's always nice if we can answer.
Answer accurately. I mean, those, yeah.
But no, for us, you know, a lot of it is just getting as much as we can throughout, so people have, you know, a variety to take advantage of when they come to see us.
You said earlier that you do have monies available to purchase out of the local area.
We do.
Del Norte, Humboldt, is that the primary area, or will you go down into Mendocino or over into Trinity to do some purchasing if they have an abundance?
Well, so I like to call probably any nonprofit, but a food bank budget like a puzzle. We have so many different funding sources with different restrictions. We have some foods from the state right now, so it just has to be purchased in California. So in that case, yes, we're probably going to Del Norte, Trinity, all of that. We also have some specific
funds. Down in Petaluma for the pumpkins?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
We have some funding that is just specific to Humboldt County, like that regional. So
oh, really?
We do.
It's that narrow?
Yeah, that narrow. So
now, is that local local sourced monies?
Yeah, typically
from
local
the county?
Source. It's not actually county funds. It's there was a group, they called themselves Locally Delicious. They were very focused on the local food system, and they started this grant system so that we could purchase foods from farmers. Actually, they're contracts, so we should be contracting with farmers earlier in the season when they have less startup funds, so they get an influx, and then we are guaranteed foods throughout the season for our programs.
Oh, that's kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Supports the local food system, supports the farmers. We get what we need, which is amazing. And we're able to purchase from people right here, you know, Willow Creek to Arcata, all the farms around. We got quinoa just last week from the local quinoa farm.
Oh, boy.
It's nice to see the variety of things we're able to source locally.
Yeah,
right now.
I know the UC folks talk about that and recognizing opportunities and what we're designed for, but it still has to be something of interest. Now, what about berries? And you mentioned apples a couple of times, the fruit, but are there berries in some of those types of things that maybe people don't really consider a commercial product that you're able to take advantage of, or is that really not, because of the short shelf life, something of interest?
We will occasionally. It depends. Those are also very delicate foods, and a lot of when you're dealing in bulk foods, you got to make sure things are able to be packaged in a way that they can make it from delivery to pre-bag to client without being destroyed. So stone fruits and berries can be very tough. But we have found ways around it, so we will do some purchasing there.
With the funding that you were referencing, the Locally Delicious,
mm-hmm.
are you able to put in a request for different types of vegetables or fruits or grains or whatever?
Yeah, typically we will. We also acknowledge sometimes, like this year was a very strange growing season for our farmers. So some of the things that we wanted to purchase, either just the crop didn't go for some reason or the other, or it had a run that didn't go well. So in those cases, they'll usually supplement with something else, and we're willing to work with them. But typically, we're able to say, yeah, you know, we want bell peppers. We just got bell peppers delivered from a contract we have.
Salsa.
Well, we also have tortillas in the food bank right now, so it's
oh, really?
It's very well timed, yes.
Well, if you had a bank of food blenders, I'd talk to you. What about things like watermelons and items that aren't typically found here?
Mm.
Do you just not use them. They're in the grocery stores, but yeah. They just aren't grown locally.
So, you know, if we find a source typically for things like that that are not grown locally, if we can find a source through the Central Valley, we will try and incorporate those occasionally. Those are harder to find. I actually can't remember the last time we had watermelon. But we are able to source some of those things that are not as prolific in Humboldt County.
So when you're going out and ordering, I would think, at least using the schools as a reference, that there's a real attempt to have a variety or a mix of some of this, some of that, and not that it has a demand, but that you need to have that offered. Is that the case?
Yeah, I think for a certain extent, when we're doing purchasing, we always want to make sure we have a variety. We put a big emphasis on making sure the foods are nutritious. People can access nutritious foods for us, so that's a component. But also looking at trends. You know, if the black beans are not going, we will stop ordering the black beans. But, you know, so it's looking at trends, but also wanting to get a variety in.
So you don't want to order from the candy farm plantation too often? Sorry.
Too expensive.
Yeah. Packaging costs. Oh, well, thanks for coming by, and I'll see you again.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.